Welcome. You are listening to AfterSight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Food and Stuff, read by Gretchen Miller, featuring Smitten Kitchen. Today we're going to start off with a recipe for buffalo chicken cob salad. Earlier this summer, I made what I thought was just a dinner salad that turned out to be my new favorite dinner salad of all time, and it was literally all I could talk about for the next few weeks, incessantly, insufferably. I didn't even wait to ask if you're into buffalo wings, and of course you are. Cobb salads, you could be, I can just tell, or looking for a dinner idea. It's just not who I am. Perhaps even less surprising was realizing I have very strong opinions about how to adapt the idea of buffalo wings to things that are not buffalo wings, which means I'm about to break down my favorite parts of all of this. Number one, the lightness. I find buffalo wings to be as unheavy as fried chicken wings dipped in a buttery hot sauce, then dipped again in a blue cheese ranch dressing can be. It's because they're not breaded. The crisp is from the skin itself. For the purposes of this salad, you could definitely use a crispy breaded chicken cutlet if you'd like. However, I was completely happy with grilled chicken thighs. Number two, the dressing twofer. Buffalo sauce is a buttery hot sauce mixture that's piercing and thin. The creamy dressing is ranch-like and thicker. For me, the interplay of these two textures and flavors is everything. So this salad had to have two dressings versus just mixing them together. Number three, the blue cheeseless blue cheese. I adore blue cheese dressing, but my weird take on it is that I prefer the blue cheese outside the dressing. If not, I end up eating the whole pint of ice cream just to dig for the cookie dough nuggets experience with it, which I insist is a universal one. Sprinkling blue cheese over allows every bite to have some without smothering everything in a more dressing than I can crave. And next, everything else. Carrots and celery are essential when it comes to buffalo wings, in my opinion, not just plate garnishes. From there, I added more chunky vegetables, cucumbers, peppers, tomatoes, diced red onion that work well with these flavors, and just enough leafy greens to fill it out. Also, salad bar style. I serve everything unassembled because it allows everyone at the table to make their salad with the ingredient balance of their dreams, including those who don't want chicken or blue cheese, hey, more for me, or even buffalo sauce. Plus, the leftovers keep fantastically. Dressings in their own jars, lettuce in a bag, vegetables in a container, since they're unmixed. Do I overthink these things a little, or do I obsess? Exactly enough. I hope you'll try it and find out. Here's the recipe for buffalo chicken cob salad. Serves 4 to 6, time 1 hour, source Smitten Kitchen. For the creamy dressing, you'll need 1/2 cup of buttermilk, shaken, 1/2 cup of mayonnaise, juice of 1/2 lemon, that's about 1.5 tablespoons, 1/4 teaspoon of Worcestershire sauce, 1 small garlic clove, minced, 1/4 teaspoon of kosher salt, plus more to taste, many grinds of black pepper, 1/4 cup of minced fresh chives, divided. For the buffalo sauce, you'll need 6 tablespoons of hot sauce, ideally Frank's, and 4 tablespoons of melted butter. The salad in assembly, you'll need 6 to 6.5 cups of diced fresh vegetables, such as celery, carrots, bell pepper, cucumber, and tomatoes. 1 cup of diced red onion from 1 small red onion. 4 to 6 ounces of diced blue cheese, such as Danish blue. 4 to 5 ounces of romaine or baby gem lettuce, sliced or torn. 1 pound of boneless chicken thighs, grilled and sliced, ideally still warm. To make the creamy dressing, you're going to whisk everything to combine and add 1/2, that's 2 tablespoons, of the minced chives. Taste and adjust the ingredients such as salt and pepper as needed. To make the buffalo sauce, you're going to whisk the butter and the hot sauce to combine and then set aside. To serve, arrange the vegetables, onion, and blue cheese on a large platter. Place lettuce in a large bowl. I like to keep the chicken separate just in case someone doesn't eat it. To assemble, place some lettuce on a plate followed by chicken. Add all of the vegetables, onion, and cheese that you like, then drizzle with creamy dressing followed by buffalo sauce. Garnish with the remaining chives. Here are a few notes. You could definitely omit the chicken here and still have an amazing salad. Diced firm tofu would be great too, or you could grill it in strips. Use any vegetables you like here, but if you're curious, I used 1.5 cups of celery from 2 large ribs, 1.5 cups of carrot from 3 slim carrots, about 6 ounces total, 1 cup of yellow pepper from 1 large pepper, 1.5 cups of cucumber from 1.5 Persian small cucumbers, about 5 ounces, and 1 cup of diced tomatoes from larger cherry tomatoes. For our next recipe, spinach quiche. After a week that felt nothing short of chaotic and angsty, this weekend was just what the over-tangled brain ordered. Saturday, we headed to the surprisingly empty and ochre-tinted foliage-deprived Brooklyn Botanical Garden for a few hours, still wandering around snapping up this and that to contribute my quota of flower pictures to the internet, was turned out to be exactly the antidote that my week called for. Alas, no day could be perfect without cooking for the people I love. I insisted upon pulling together dinner for my husband and sister-in-law before heading out to see the Prestige. Along with the reheated, stinkastic galette leftovers and the best pantry staple, Caesar salad, in some sort of miracle, I managed to get my favorite quiche together in under an hour. I've been making the spinach quiche for so long, I feel almost possessive about it, forgetting that somewhere other people must too, and now I'm encouraging you also. It's fantastically simple, 3 everyday cheeses, some green onions, and a box of frozen spinach, and it keeps so well. It's actually tastier the next day, with the flavors cool, settled, and happily enmeshed. Don't be put off by its overly healthy and wholesome appearance. It tastes like a treat, and I can't wait to feast on it with a green salad for lunch this week. On Sunday, I finally peeled back the cover of the November Gourmet. I've had it a whole 5 days. I'm such a slacker. And became so overexcited. I nearly ate the pages. Root vegetable gratin, pumpkin muffins, some more pie, Brussels sprouts with shallots and mushrooms. I burst arrhythmically from the back seat of the car on the way out to my in-laws. "Breathe, Debbie," my husband feebly attempted. "Poppy seed sweetbread, Barbara Streisand." Unable to restrain myself any longer, it had been a whole 45 minutes, you see, I simmered the Dominican beans at my in-laws to accompany our dinner. And while I have no pictures, you have to trust me that they're delicious, a recipe worth clipping. However, this still left me with nearly a quarter of the page's corners turned down, calling my name. If the world worked exactly the way that I think it should, I would be able to take this whole week off from work and just try to have a go with all of them. But alas, reality always checks in Sunday night. I did manage to squeeze in one more treat, however. The fresh granola with pepitas from Cayo Ocho in New York City. We fell asleep with all sorts of toasted deliciousness lingering in the air. I still had to get up and go that whole day job thing, but somehow the prospect of something new and better on my morning yogurt made the whole thing a lot more bearable. That, and a promise that you, me, and those pumpkin muffins are going to have some quality time together very soon. Here's the recipe for my spinach quiche. This is adapted from Bon Appetit, October of 1991. 1/2 recipe of Martha Stewart's pâté brisé, rolled out and pressed into either a pie dish or a removable bottom tart pan. If you're a dork like me, you might take the extra scraps and cut them into leaf shapes and press them about on the top of your unbaked quiche. But then your husband might tease you for your fall theme. Well, might. You'll need 1 3-ounce package of cream cheese, room temperature, 1/3 cup of half and half, 3 eggs, 1 10-ounce package of frozen chopped spinach, thawed and drained, 1/2 cup of grated cheddar, 1/4 cup of grated Parmesan, 4 to 6 green onions sliced, 1/4 teaspoon salt, and 1/4 teaspoon pepper. Preheat your oven to 425 degrees Fahrenheit and beat the cream cheese in a medium bowl until smooth. Gradually beat in half and half and the eggs. Mix in the remaining ingredients and pour the mixture into the prepared crust. Bake until the crust is golden brown and filling is set, about 25 minutes. Cool 10 minutes before serving. For the Dominican beans, this is adapted from Gourmet, November of 2006. You'll need 2 14- to 15-ounce cans of pink or pinto beans, drained and rinsed, 4 cups of water, 1 2-ounce bunch of cilantro without the roots, 1 large onion chopped, 2 large garlic cloves chopped, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 3 tablespoons of tomato paste, 1 tablespoon of distilled white vinegar, 1 cubanelle or Italian frying pepper, not spicy, about 4 ounces, halved lengthwise, you steam and seeds discarded, or it says steam, but it means stem, stem and seeds discarded, 2 Turkish bay leaves or 1 California bay leaf, 1 teaspoon salt, 1/2 teaspoon of dried oregano crumbled, 1/2 teaspoon of black pepper. Puree half of the beans in a food processor with 1 cup of water until smooth. Tie cilantro in a tight bundle with a string. Cook the onion and garlic in olive oil in a 5 to 6 quart heavy pot over moderate heat, stirring occasionally until the onion is softened but not brown, about 8 minutes. Add tomato paste, vinegar, and 1 cup of water. Then bring to a boil and cook, stirring 2 minutes. Add the pureed and whole beans, cubanelle pepper halves, cilantro, bay leaves, salt, oregano, pepper, and remaining 2 cups of water. Then simmer, uncovered, stirring occasionally 1.5 hours. The mixture will reduce and thicken. Remove and discard the cubanelle pepper halves, the cilantro and bay leaves, and then serve. For the granola, this is adapted from Calle Ocho, New York City via Gourmet Magazine. You'll need 3 cups of old-fashioned rolled oats, 1 cup of sweetened flaked coconut, 1/2 cup of vegetable oil, 1/3 cup of sliced almonds, about 1 ounce, 1/2 cup of chopped walnuts, 1/3 cup of green hulled pumpkin seeds, sometimes called pepitas, 1.5 ounce, not roasted, 1/3 cup of packed dark brown sugar, 1/4 cup of mild honey, a pinch of cinnamon, a pinch of salt, 1 cup of tart dried cherries, 1/2 cup of dried blueberries, 1/2 cup of dried pears, that's 1/4 inch dice, and 1/2 cup of dried apricots, also cut those into 1/4 inch diced pieces, and 1/3 cup of golden raisins. Accompaniment, sliced bananas, plain yogurt flavored with vanilla extract. You're going to put your oven rack in the middle position and preheat your oven to 375 degrees Fahrenheit. Stir together all ingredients except the fruit in a large bowl until combined. Spread the mixture evenly on a large 17 by 12 shallow baking pan and bake, stirring occasionally until golden brown, 30 to 35 minutes. Then transfer the granola in the pan to the rack to cool, stirring occasionally about 45 minutes. Stir in dried fruit. The granola keeps frozen. The fruit's moisture softens the granola if not kept frozen in an airtight container for 1 month. I got away with 1/3 of a cup, and that goes back to the reference of... Sorry, not prepared for that. The half cup vegetable oil. Deb just used 1/3 of a cup. And she accidentally bought the roasted ones, and I believe that's reference to the, the pepitas. I accidentally brought the roasted ones, which are, by the way, so tasty you can't stop snacking on them. So I mixed them in just as I took it out of the oven when the sugars were still melted and they gummed to the granola as if they'd been there the whole time. And from the picture, you can tell that I use whichever dried fruits I'm craving. Actually, this isn't entirely true. The store was out of dried cranberries, which is my favorite, so I substituted cherries. I'm still short a lot of dried fruit, but plan to remedy that soon. And then next time I do this, putting it in the large 17 by 12 inch shallow baking pan, I am lining it with foil. When the granola came out of the oven, it's soft and in smaller pieces. And when I returned 15 minutes later, it was like one giant loosely packed granola bar. This is wonderful as you can break it up into whatever size chunks you like, but bad because it had stuck a bit to the pan, making for an annoying cleanup. Next, we've got a recipe for pimento cheese potato bites. Sorry, I blinked. I missed 2016 in the way that happens when you're so deeply in it, you forget to look up. I went from having one kid and a tiny bundle wrapped in a blanket to having two real live mobile children, and they are impossibly cute and exhausting, and I wouldn't want it any other way except for maybe once a week if we can find a babysitter. Like all parents ever, I think that my 7-year-old says amazing things, such as when he told us this weekend that we needed to get our New Year's revolutions ready. My 17-month-old is a tempest of curls and a blur of frenetic energy, and whenever she exhibits low frustration tolerance, people decide that this is the perfect time to tell me how much we are alike. Not sure what that's about. Both kids got serious birthday cakes, and for once my husband did all right too. I got to go to a surprise party birthday trip to Mexico City without kids, and then we went to Portugal with two children, had a great time, and even remembered to bring the same two children home with us. If we can do that, we can do anything, right? Well, more relevant to this space, Smitten Kitchen turned 10 years old, and I wrote some completely earnest stuff about 10 years of food blogging. I also gave a completely terrifying keynote address at a conference. The site was at last redesigned at the culmination of a multi-year and multi-design team effort to release this site from my circa 2006 attempts at CSS. This was a challenge and a life lesson in accepting that sometimes 95% done, at least for websites, is good enough. That said, we tweak things every week. I expect it to be perfect about 5 years from now, precisely in time for the next redesign. I finished, 95% again, but not that I'm at peace, because I'm the kind of author that gives publishers ulcers. I finished a cookbook, and then I let 13 people with cameras and mics and lights wreak havoc on my apartment one day. I hosted my first Thanksgiving, and we also started having people over almost every other week, because have you ever been at a restaurant with a toddler? Suddenly, the idea of cooking even for 11 people on the regular is wildly more appealing. I enjoy the results that this has had on my cooking, too. Figuring out which meals scale easily and can be prepped in advance and accommodate various diets. Although my updates here have been slower for parts of the summer and fall than almost any other year, I really love what we're cooking here more than ever. A mix of the practical sheet pan dinners, pumpkin bread, avocado toast, everyday meatballs, the platonic ideal of blueberry muffins, spaghetti pie, and a taco tort, and the terrifying, like baked Alaska, towering Russian cakes, and more. I'm forever trying to find my footing in the kitchen, trying to find balance between the ambitious stuff that fuels me, but also, dinner I'm actually excited to make and eat. These lists look like we're almost getting there. Here is the recipe for, if I can get to it, she has a lot of lists. Pimento cheese potato bites. This serves about 42 bites and takes 2 hours. This will make twice as much pimento cheese as you need. You can have the cheese mixture so that everything lines up. Use double the potatoes, which you totally should do for a crowd, or you can save the extra pimento cheese for everything that's amazing with pimento cheese, like grilled cheese and omelets are my top picks. My friends say we should put it on celery. You can easily pre-prep these either by mixing the pimento cheese and boiling the potatoes one day and chilling the potatoes for up to 2 days and the pimento cheese for up to a week if needed, or by fully assembling them and baking them right before a party. They also reheat well. You can use the same approach for twice-baked full-size potatoes. Hooray! Some potato scooping tips. There's a temptation to scoop them all out perfectly, but I find scooping out shallow round is sufficient once remixed to have a fully flavored potato, and it's only when I attempt to cut further that I cut holes in the bottoms or rip the sides. Even if you do, however, the oiled foil will keep it from being too much of a mess. So for this recipe, you'll need 1.5 pounds of baby potatoes. I used a mix of red and yellow. 2 heaped cups of coarsely grated sharp cheddar cheese, ideally a mix of yellow and white. 1/2 cup of finely chopped drained pimentos or roasted red peppers. 1/4 cup of mayonnaise. 1 to 2 scallions, finely minced. 1/4 teaspoon of celery salt. Cayenne or hot sauce to taste. Salt and freshly ground pepper. Smoked hot or sweet paprika, more cayenne, chipotle powder, and or minced chives to garnish. First, you're going to put your potatoes in a large pot, cover them with 2 inches of water, and set them over high heat, and set your time as soon as you turn on the flame for 25 minutes and bring to a boil. When the timer rings, the potatoes are either done or they need up to 5 minutes more. If a skewer goes in them easily, they're done. Drain and let cool until you can pick them up, or you can chill them for up to 2 days until needed. Meanwhile, make the pimento cheese by mixing the cheddars, pimentos, mayo, scallions, celery salt, and cayenne or hot sauce together until evenly combined. Season to taste with salt and freshly ground black pepper. Either use this right away or keep it chilled for a week until needed. Cover a large baking sheet with foil and lightly coat the foil with nonstick spray. Heat the oven at 425 degrees. When the potatoes are cool enough to handle, have them lengthwise and scoop out all but the last 1/4 inch thickness of skin and potato. Essentially, you want to leave a shell inside for stability. A melon baller makes easy work of this. You can arrange the potatoes on the prepared baking sheet and season cavities with salt and pepper. Mash the potato centers in a bowl until smooth and mix with 3/4 cup plus 1 tablespoon of prepared pimento cheese. Season with more salt and pepper to taste. Use a small spoon, butter knife, or small offset spatula to press or pack the filling back into the emptied potatoes, smoothing the tops, and then nestle them in the pan tightly to discourage them from toppling and spilling their contents. Bake for 15 to 20 minutes until melty and sizzling, then run under the broiler until lightly browned on the top. Let cool 5 to 10 minutes before serving and garnishing with paprika and or chives when you do. Thank you for joining us for Food and Stuff, read by Gretchen Miller.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.